do take your seats. Around you, you should find an A5 piece of paper that looks like this, titled The Nature of Envy. If you take that up now, that'd be really helpful. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then Sarah Allison is going to come and read to us. Father, we are fools. We are blind. So often we reject you and go our own way. And so we thank you that we can pray to you with confidence, knowing that if we confess our sin to you, you are faithful to forgive your children. And so we pray now, as we come to read your words, and as Jay comes to preach to us, we pray that you would shape and mold our hearts. Please change them that we might live for you, and for you alone, and for always. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
So as David said, you can follow these on the A5 sheet. Some of them have been repeated, but we'll read through them as they are. So Proverbs 27, verse 20. Death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are human eyes. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 24, verses 1 to 2. Do not envy the wicked. Do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. Proverbs 24, verse 19 to 20. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked, for the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord.
Well, good evening. Please keep that hand out there in front of you. We're going to trace it through. And we've got this topic this evening of envy. David said, we've had a couple of topics so far. And this is, if you like, kind of a study on a particular sin, whereas the other two have been to do with family life, I guess, and family life and friendship. And so we're going to follow the sort of pattern of the handout. So the side with the Christchurch Banted logo is the front side. So start there with the nature of envy, and then we'll go on to the danger of envy, and then we'll turn the page and we'll go to the cure for envy. So that's where we're going. Please do follow it along. And please do, they should be able to find a pen. Please do make some notes and scratch things around on the bit of paper. That's for you to take away as well. And the second part of Proverbs, it's a collection of different proverbs from all over the place. And the writer hasn't written them all himself. He's compiled them from lots of different sources, and so they appear to be more random than the first sort of 10 chapters of the book. And there is some structure there, but it does feel a bit more random, which is why we've sort of selected a few on one topic that we've got here on this handout. Now let's consider then the nature of envy. What's envy all about? What is it? Well, by way of illustration, let me just talk to you about a man called Sir John Gielgud. You may know of his theatre in London. He was one of the great British stage actors of the 20th century. And during the 30s and the 40s, he, along with two others, a guy called Ralph Richardson and someone perhaps more famous, Laurence Olivier, they dominated the theatre scene in London. They were the stars of the day. And in particular, Gielgud's greatest role was that of Shakespeare's Hamlet. I never hoped to see Hamlet played as in one's dreams. I've had an evening of being swept right off my feet into another life, far more real than the life I live in, and moved beyond words. That's what one review of his performance said. Another said, a tremendous performance, the best Hamlet of my experience. And still another wrote, I have no hesitation whatsoever in saying that it is the high watermark of English Shakespearean acting of our time. High praise. And these performances in this role, it would define his career and his life and his legacy. It's what he's remembered for. It was so important to him that when Laurence Olivier took on the role, and he played Hamlet a bit later on, and when he made a success of it, he just couldn't stand it. And he'd say this, when Sir Laurence Olivier played Hamlet in 1948 and the critics raved, I wept. The critics raved about his performance, but I wept. Such is the sin of envy. It's a sin that lives in the heart. It lives in my heart, and it lives in your heart. Now, our first proverb, it says this, Proverbs 27, verse 20. Death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are human eyes. It's a very simple point that this is making. Just as death and destruction seem to have this kind of insatiable appetite, they just keep on consuming. They're never satisfied. Well, so we, no matter what we have or what we've achieved, we're never satisfied either. We're always looking around and we're comparing ourselves to other people. We look at their lives and we see what they have or we see what they've done. And so we're never happy with our own lot in life. We become miserable because what we do is we see that they have what we really want. See, to be known as the greatest Hamlet was Gielgud's greatest joy. It was the thing he wanted above all. And so when the critics raved about Olivier, he wept. The famous medieval theologian, a guy called Thomas Aquinas, who you may have heard of, he defined envy very, very simply, and it's a great definition, sorrow at another's good. Great definition, sorrow at another's good. If that's kind of all you remember about what envy is, then that's great. Sorrow at another's good. Now, just to sort of sharpen that a little bit, another author, a guy called Os Guinness, who's a contemporary author, he points out that we're always most vulnerable to envying those whose gifts and calling are closest to ours. So he says, well, musicians, well, they generally envy other musicians, don't they? They don't envy politicians. And politicians, they envy other politicians. And sports people, other sports people. Professors, other professors. Ministers, even, other ministers. So envy is sorrow at another's good. And it's especially when that good comes to one who is like us. Now, let me just sort of play that into some scenarios for you that might ring true with something of your experience. So imagine for a moment, you're at school. Some of you need to think really hard. It's a long time ago. Some of you are still there. Imagine you're at school, and the person you sit next to, your friend in class, they don't seem to do any work at all, but they get A's in their exams. And you're working every hour of the night, and you only get C's. Now, you can imagine that it'd be easy to be envious of them, wouldn't you? It's easy to sort of be frustrated and even angry at that person. Imagine a neighbour who goes to work every day. They've got a brand new Mercedes. And while you're still driving your 10-year-old Fiesta, don't you sometimes wish that things could be different, that you could swap places? Or what about a sister? A sister who can eat whatever she wants and she never gains weight, whereas you just have to look at a custard cream and you've put on a couple of pounds. How many of you have wished that you look like this person or that person? How many of you have even experienced sorrow when a friend has told you that they've lost weight because it reminds you that you haven't? Or perhaps it's a specific issue like that. Or perhaps it's even more general. It's kind of just a life envy. You can imagine a childhood friend who you've lost contact with, and one day you get back in contact and you meet up for coffee, and you discover that she now lives in a far nicer house than yours. Her children are little angels while yours are little devils. And she's got a kinder, much more attractive husband than you have. You can imagine that after coffee, you go home miserable with your situation. Or if you're a bloke, perhaps you've got a friend who was able to retire at 50. And so now he just spends his whole time on the golf course, on nice cruises and things like that. Well, you know, you're going to be stuck at work till 65 or beyond, slogging away. And on seeing your friend, you then become frustrated every day you go up to London. Well, there are sort of situations in the world, aren't there? Maybe some of those are close to things that you've experienced. But let's just bring this inside the church, because we're not immune to this within our family. This affects us too. So imagine for a moment a brother or sister in Christ who's become a Christian after you, but they're now serving in a more prominent role than you are. Or that they're a much more clearly gifted Bible teacher than you. Or their ministry is just really productive and successful, where yours is a struggle and perhaps even failing. We can get into a position where, rather than being glad at how the Lord is using them, we're sad because we feel he isn't using us. For all those different situations, and I'm sure perhaps you've got more things that you're envious about. For all those situations, the person who's full of envy, their eyes are never satisfied. They're always looking around and they're comparing themselves and what they have with others. And what they find is discontentment with their own lot. And they find sorrow when another person does well. They struggle to celebrate with others because they're going to be sad for themselves. So just to begin with, that's the nature of envy. Do you think that envy might live in your heart? Even if it just appears from time to time, is it there? Well, I think it is there in mine, and I suggest that it is in yours. And the compiler of the Proverbs, well, he thinks it is in each of our hearts. And he warns us that it's a big danger for us. And so let's look now to our next Proverbs and our next point. The danger of envy. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. See, envy's a sin of the heart, and it's a sin actually that's unlike the other sins of the heart, because it's a sin that gives no pleasure to the sinner. So lust gives me a thrill. Anger gives me a burst of adrenaline. Pride gives me a sense of superiority, and that feels great. But envy doesn't do any of that, does it? Envy only brings suffering. Envy rots the bones. That's what we're told here in this proverb. And it's quite a powerful image, isn't it? Envy's like bone cancer. It gnaws away. It makes your being fragile and brittle, and eventually it brings death. See, although envy is a sin of the heart, it's a sin that then affects the whole person, the whole structure of a person's life. And just by the way, that can be true for non-Christian people as well as for Christian people. See, it puts stress on our minds and it puts stress on our bodies. It damages us, and left unchecked, it's going to ruin us. It's going to lead us, in fact, into many kinds, all kinds of other sins. So things like bitterness, hatred, anger, slander, violence, all these sins that are against other people, they can all be fueled by envy that's in our hearts. And so it's not a small thing, is it? It's a great danger to our person. It's a cancer. It's a cancer to us, and it's a cancer to our relationships with others. And in fact, that's where the New Testament goes with the subject of envy. It speaks about envy ruining the body of Christ, the destructive power of envy in the church. And James chapter 3 speaks of this. You don't need to turn there at the moment. James chapter 3, verse 16. James is speaking about the dangers to the church and their relationships, and he says this: where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You see, as opposed to the love that we can have for others and that we should have for others within the church, if you find envy there, you'll find a host of other sins, all kinds of sins, every evil practice, James says. And you'll find disorder in the body of God's people. It wrecks us, it rots us, as it affects our individual relationships with other Christians. And so envy is a cancer to us. It's a danger to us now, right in the here and now, to our relationships with each other and to our own person. But the Proverbs want to take us a bit further than just the here and now. It wants to point us to our eternal danger. Danger to our souls for eternity. And that's where these next three Proverbs come in this on the handout there. Three of these Proverbs, they speak to God's people. And they're speaking to God's people about the envying of those who are not God's people. So there are three do nots here. We find in Proverbs 23, verse 17, do not let your heart envy sinners. Proverbs 24, verse 1, do not envy the wicked, do not desire their company. And Proverbs 24, verse 19, do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked. And you can see just straight away there that this is the most common command in Proverbs with regards to envy. It says it multiple times. And that tells us something. That there's something within us, as God's people, that looks at the world out there and longs to be a part of it again. That looks back at our old life before we were believers and longs for it again. And particularly when we see others living that life, think maybe about being at work or even just what you watch on the TV or with your family when you meet with them. We look at the way that people are living their lives and we wish it was us living that way. We're envious of them. Well, what kind of things might that be? Well, it may be their prosperity. So we look and we think, I could be so much richer if I didn't give my money away to church, but spent it for myself instead. Or it may be their comfort. We think they don't have to give up their time to serve. You know, think what I could do with all my spare time. If I didn't have to do WizKids or Friday Club, I could go out on a Friday evening. If I didn't have to get up on a Sunday morning, well, I'd love to be able to read my paper in my pajamas. Wouldn't that be great? So we envy their comforts. Or perhaps we could be envious of their seeming sort of lack of conscience and the sort of freedom they seem to have. Because I feel guilty when I sin, don't I? And they don't seem to at all. Wouldn't it be nice not to have to worry about that, just to be able to live as I please? I can sleep with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. I can watch what I want on TV. I can treat myself to whatever I want in the shops. I can live as I please. Wouldn't that be attractive to us? Doesn't that look appealing? It does to me. Proverbs says, beware. Beware that. Because envy is a grave danger. It is a grave danger to our souls in the envying of the wicked. For you can't have all of that out there and still have the Lord. If you go that way, if you pursue what you are envious of in the world, then you'll become like the world in all your ways, and you will inherit the same ending as the world. Look at their ending, 24 verse 20. For the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. This is why it's foolish. And it may be that you've been in this, you're in this moment, you're sort of hanging in the balance, and you're looking out there and you're thinking, yeah, I'm tempted to pack in this Christian thing and go that way. Don't do it. It's foolish. It's foolish because what's out there in the world does not last. See, the wicked, they're concerned with what they can get in the here and now, but they'll carry none of it into the next world. There's no future hope. There's no eternal value. And so it's foolish to be envying these people and the things that they have, because what they have will just be gone. It will be snuffed out just like that. See, for you as a Christian person, you have so much more stored up for you in eternity. So don't be concerned for these things which just last just a short while, because to be consumed with envy over the wicked and their ways is a great danger to our souls. There's a risk that their future will become ours also. So envy is cancer. It's cancer to our bodies. It's cancer to our souls. It's a great danger to us. And the terrible thing about cancer is that there's no cure, is there? We long for a cure. And so is there a cure for envy? Well, Proverbs says yes. And that's the good news of this passage. And we just want to turn the page on the handout and look at these passages. The cure for envy. Now, when we read Proverbs 14, verse 30, first time around, we focused on the last part. We saw that envy rots the bones. But let's notice the first part too. A heart of at peace gives life to the body. A heart at peace gives life to the body. There's an alternative to an envious heart. We can have a heart of peace. A heart that's content with our lot. That's then able to celebrate and rejoice at another's good just for what it is, without comparing it to ourselves. See, this kind of person can really enjoy life. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be like that? Not to be torn up with envy over others and what they have, but to just really enjoy the things that they have for themselves. That we long to be free from this pain of envy. Now, we think, yeah, it'd be great to be free from it, but actually if we are struggling with this, if we are an envious person, we often think that this is just impossible, it's just a pipe dream, this could never really happen. And especially that's especially true when this concerns some of our deepest sadnesses and pains. But Proverbs would have us believe that this is possible. It's possible that a single person can rejoice when another single friend gets engaged without sadness about their own singleness. That's possible. It's possible that someone unable to have children can be glad when their friend becomes pregnant without grief for themselves. It's possible for a worker whose colleague gets promoted into a job that they were going for to celebrate that. We can be happy that our brother and sister is recognized as being used by God and be content that we go overlooked and unnoticed. Wouldn't it be good to be free from envy at those moments, these deep and painful things? Wouldn't it be good to be able to rejoice at another's good and be totally satisfied with our lot in life? That's what heaven will be like, isn't it? We'll be utterly satisfied. But what about now? Is there a cure to this? Is there a way forwards for us? Yes, it's found in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. We also had a glimpse of this in Proverbs 23, verse 17, which we read before. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. So the cure to envy is to fear the Lord and rest content in Him, to be satisfied with Him. And the great preacher Charles Spurgeon, he puts it like this. The cure for envy lies in living under a constant sense of the divine presence, worshipping God and communing with Him all the day long, however long the day may seem. True religion lifts the soul into a higher region where the judgment becomes more clear and the desires are more elevated. The more of heaven there is in our lives, the less of earth we shall covet. The fear of God casts out envy of men. So there are things that we can do to help us with envy. There are things, say, if, for example, if you struggle with house envy, you know what that is, you have people next door or down the road have got much nicer houses than you, then it's a good idea to switch off Fantasy Homes by the Sea. You know, just don't watch it. That would be a great help to you. But that's really a sort of taking a painkiller for cancer. Like, it helps for a while, but it doesn't deal with the problem. What we need is a cure, something far more radical. And what this verse is saying, Proverbs 19:23, what it's saying is that we need something to displace the envy. And that displacement is found by filling our hearts with the knowledge of the Lord as he truly is, the mighty, awesome, glorious King who yet loves us and gave himself for us. So we must learn that whatever we have or don't have in this world, he has given us himself. And because of who he is enough for us. Now, the writer to the Hebrews, he picks up on this. He's speaking about the envy of the rich, something that I'm sure most of us would struggle with. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says this: keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. It's a great instruction. How? Well, this is how he follows it up. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Keep your lives free from the love of money, be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The reason he can be content is because he has the Lord with him. And so the degree to which you grasp that the God of heaven has given you himself in Christ Jesus is the degree to which you'll be cured of envy. The critics can rave about someone else, and you won't weep, you'll stand up and applaud with them. Because your identity and your sense of worth is found in the Lord and in what he has given to you, not in the eyes of men and what they say about you. So if you'll grasp just how much you have in Jesus, then your sadness at another's goods will be replaced by rejoicing, and your dissatisfaction will be replaced by a peaceful contentment. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Let's learn to rest content in him. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we confess that we are an envious people, that we look around, that we're not satisfied with what our lot, with what we have, with who we are, and we long and look at others with sadness because they have what we really want. Lord, we confess this to you, we're sorry for it, and we pray that you would displace the envy in our hearts with the fear of the Lord, that we might know you as you are, that we might know that you have given yourself to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that because we have Jesus, that there is nothing else we need to want or need. Lord, we praise you that we can be free from envy, but we know that we're a work in progress, Lord, and we ask that you would transform us by your Spirit's power, that we might be able to delight in you, and delight when others receive your good things that we really want to. Lord, we pray that you would transform us in the image of your Son. Amen.